session number 22688, Reel 6.
So this is Enid Grant, Reel 6. When you look back at your wartime experience, Enid, are you satisfied with what you were able to do, do you think? Were you, you know, was it what you wanted to do in a war situation?
Yes, very much so, except I told you I rejected the captaincy and being a maid assistant matron because that was not what I wanted to do, fill in forms and order bully beef for lunch. I wanted to look after the sick, and I had plenty of that. And as I say, hospitals there, you really worked and looked after the sick. You didn't have masses of staff like you see in casualty today. You know, it was just one or two of you, and you had to do everything.
Do you think the work that your group has did in Burma, has it been recognised? Have you had recognition for it?
For the work we did?
Yes, your little group, the Burma Nursing Corps. Is it known now?
I don't know. I don't really know, because I don't think I know anybody who went back.
Did you keep in touch afterwards?
Only did with this girl that got posted about with me. She's now living in Peshawar and has married an Indian surgeon.
But I was wondering if the public, you know, one hears an awful lot about war today.
Yeah.
And the 14th Army has been called the Forgotten Army, hasn't it?
Yes.
And I'm wondering about your group of nurses. Have you had recognition? Are you known?
Well, we had our recognition at the Burma Star Association, those of us who joined. I mean, we went up there every year to annual meeting, and we marched at the Senate. We used to gather in the behind the cenotaph, you know, and march down. And Lord Mountbatten used to be there, and
so you're part. No, your sort of history as part of the 14th Army has been recognised.
Oh, I think so. The Burma Star Association made sure of that, I think, and they've kept it all together and everybody together. Sadly, we're all getting old now. I think they stopped having the yearly annual meetings because people are too old to get there, a lot of them. But I still keep in touch with the odd person from the past. There's the one who used to do the airdrop. He lives not far away, keeps in touch. And there are others, but... No, I can't tell you how many there were. I have got a photograph somewhere, if I can find it.
Well, that would be lovely, you know, to have a copy of it. But we would send you the original back.
Well, it's no good giving... I'm giving my things away, because if I died, I have no close relations. I think they'll throw all this stuff out. I'm trying to get myself better to clear it all up. I should have done it long ago. I've got other things which might be of interest, but I don't know where they are. I've got all the letters I wrote to my mother while I was at the front, but I doubt if they said very much because they were heavily censored.
Yes, even so, they are interesting, aren't they? You know, I'm sure the museum would be very interested look at them and perhaps copy them and
I've got a whole box of them in there somewhere.
Yes. Do you think when you look back at World War II and what the women you met in India and Burma did, that it made a big difference to women's lives, you know, what they were able to do in that war, and did it change their perceptions, do you think, of themselves?
I never sort of kept in touch with many of them. The QAs all went back to England. One or two, yes. There's one who lives in... she's down by the sea somewhere. She keeps in touch with me. She was at Hoshiarpur.
Because I was wondering if it made any difference to sort of women's equality with men. The fact that you were sort of... From what you were saying, you were doing... Your work was as... Although you weren't fighting, you were doing very arduous work.
We were on active service in dangerous areas and... We had been told that we would get no luxuries, that we would have to live you know, as the soldiers did, and we did. We just had camp beds on bare earth and our mosquito nets, and we wore battle dress, the men's battle dress. We didn't have anything special. We had our uniforms for the daytime, but we always wore the green battle dress. Well, I think we were as equal as anybody could be at that time. As I say, on our off-duty time, we went and did what the men did, like riding horses and driving vans and trucks. I once drove a 5-ton truck over a Bailey Bridge, which was very exciting. You see, if you had friends in those departments, you could do all these things. One friend once took me to a picnic on the banks of the River Chindwin, which is quite exciting because that's a famous river. We took a flask of tea, and the whole place was littered with Japanese bits and pieces, and there were swords there, which if we'd had any sense, we'd have brought home because they're very valuable. I'm afraid we didn't bother. And up in Nowshera, as one incident, I had a friend who was in charge of the cavalry section of the Sikh regiment, and he said to me one day, he said, "Would you like to come riding?" So I said, "Yes, that'd be very nice." And he says, "Now, this is a charger, a cavalry charger." He said, "You've got to be very careful. If you make the wrong movement, he'll charge." So we set out down the Great North, Great West Road, Northwest Road, Kipling's Road down. It all went well for quite a long time, and I must have pressed some nerve or something, because my charger suddenly turned round and charged for home. It was a terrifying experience. I arrived home hanging round his neck. Frank, who took me out, was frightfully cross. He said, "If you'd been killed, I'd been in real trouble." But we used to do things like that. There was nothing else to do. And we were young and adventurous, and it was all fun, I think.
And then, of course, you were going off for another adventure in Kenya, I suppose, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did. I mean, we landed in Mau Mau there. Kenya was quite an exciting place, too. We did quite a lot of exciting things there. I climbed Mount Kenya.
Would you have been involved with the Mau Mau uprising? Did it directly impinge on your life?
In a way, my cousin's farm... The Mau Mau were hiding in the foothills of Mount Kenya, and they used to use his farm as a mode of access, and they used to come in at night and slash meat off his live cattle. They didn't bother to kill them, they just sliced it off, and this awful sound of these crying cattle. My poor cousin used to have to go out and shoot them in absolute agony. And he had most people were involved in temporary police work. They were, both my cousins. And they had a camp in their farm near the house where they had prisoners that had been caught, and they had police guarding them. And I was staying with them at one time, and they had a sick parade every morning on the back veranda. And he said, "Well, as you're here, you can take it this morning." So I did. It was more or less dishing out quinine and things like that. Dear old man came along and had a cough or something, and after he'd gone, I said to my cousin, "He can't be a murderer." I said, "He looks too nice." He said he's killed 3 people. So in that way I had connections with them. And they used to come to the hospital. The War Memorial Hospital in Nakuru was built by the settlers, by their money, you know, and it was for the settlers. And it was a very nice hospital. And on night duty, you'd go down the passage and sort of look at your patients. And it was just one room and veranda on either side. And the doors were open usually because it was warm at night. And anybody could walk in, really, but we used to be up and down all night, and you'd go in the morning and find them shivering. They'd lost all their blankets. The Mau Mau had come in the night and just stripped all the blankets off them and stolen them. I had one incident when I'd been in an accident, and I'd broken my leg, and I was in plaster. And most of the girls had gone out to a party and dance, and I was in my room. And I think I was alone in the sisters' mess. It was a separate building. We all had rooms, and there was a special little building which was a dining room, a sitting room. And I was alone here. The others hadn't come back from the party. I heard noises and didn't know what it was. I had locked my door. And there were people going around and bumps and bangs, and I couldn't think what it was. And anyway, it stopped after a while, but the Mau Mau had been there. They used to put our laundry on racks outside. They'd taken all our laundry. It had gone. They hadn't tried to get into my room, thank goodness. But the funny part was that they found a lot of this washing down the bottom of the garden. It was taken to the police station, and we had to go to court to identify the clothing. I mean, they were there, the policemen were holding up brassiers and saying, whose is this? And whose is this? So it had a funny ending. They used to come quietly. They had a policeman on guard, and they were so clever, they let all the air out of his tires. It was an odd time. And yet I used to drive all over Keeney alone, and nothing ever happened to me. I suppose it could have done.
Yes, one hears of the terrible things that happened.
Oh, dreadful things.
Did you see, was there any evidence of it that you saw?
I didn't see
yourself?
The evidence. I knew some of the people. A young couple, their little boy, age six, they were on a farm. And what they used to do is they used to come late evening, the Mau Mau, to the kitchen door, to the African, everybody had an African cook. And they'd say to the cook, if you don't do what we tell you, we know where your children and family are, there's somebody there, they'll kill them. So they hadn't much option, had they? They'd come in and do what they were told to do. And on this farm, they had a little boy, aged six, and he was up in bed asleep. They went up and simply hacked him to death. And the African, old African gardener was very fond of this little boy. He used to potter with him in the garden. Years later, I met him, or not years, but I met him in Nairobi, sitting on the doorstep of one of the shops. And he was crying, still crying, because they'd kill this little boy. You see, the relationship between people was... it's difficult to explain.
I suppose the fear was very great, was it? People were very afraid of them.
I think the Africans were afraid because they simply came down to an African camp and they killed the whole lot of them and ripped the women's stomachs open, pregnant women. That was their own people they did that to. And there was a spinster lady teacher. They got her. She was simply dragged from her room and they dragged her along the road until she was killed. And there was the famous, what's his name? Oh, my memory. You know, he found all the human skulls and things. He used to... Leakey, Dr. Leakey. He was the famous paleontologist or whatever you call them. He used to investigate all the bodies he found buried and tell you when they were there. They killed him and buried him alive. I mean, they buried him alive. His son, I think, I'm still in touch with Dr. Leakey. He used to be, I think the government have got him out now. He used to be on the government, but they've turfed him out. He used to look after the wildlife in Kenya.
Did you ever see Kenyatta? Did you ever meet him?
No, not in person. He's always on the news, and he had an English wife. I often wondered if they selected certain people, and I often wondered why I got away with it. But you see, like my cousin's farm, they were not allowed to do away with them because they made use of their farm as a route to get from A to B, and they got meat from the cows, so they were unlikely to kill. And in the same way, I think maybe in the hospital they realised that we did looked after people, and I'm not sure, but that's just a feeling I had.
What was the name of your cousin's area where he lived in Kenya?
Oh, Nanyuki, at the foot of Mount Kenya. Nanyuki.
Yuki. And the name of your hospital?
Of who?
Your hospital.
The Nakuru War Memorial Hospital.
That's
Nakuru.
War Memorial.
War Memorial Hospital.
And that was in Nairobi?
No, in Nakuru.
In Nakuru.
It was in Nakuru.
Nakuru.
It's become quite famous, the Lake Nakuru.
I beg your pardon.
Nakuru. Nakuru.
Right. Nakuru. The Nakuru War Memorial Hospital.
Yeah, it's in the Rift Valley of Kenya.
But your cousin's was Nanyuki.
Nanyuki. That's a different. That was at the foot of Mount Kenya. And the Nakuru.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much indeed for telling me so much about your World War II experience and something of your Mau Mau experience. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.